Welcome to Lifelines, the radio program of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher. We have a wonderful show ahead, but first, the headlines. President Donald Trump continues his commitment to pro-life policy. The chief executive has been called the most pro-life president in U.S. history. He has appointed strict constructionists to the federal courts and has safeguarded taxpayer dollars from being spent on abortion. Sadly, the U.S. House of Representatives, led by radical pro-abortion extremists, continues its attempted assault on the lives of unborn babies and their mothers. Thankfully, the U.S. Senate is expected to put a stop to any and all pro-abortion legislation. The Pennsylvania legislature is reconsidering a bill that would protect preborn children who have been diagnosed with Down syndrome. Studies show an astronomical abortion rate for babies believed to have an extra chromosome. This despite the fact that people with Down syndrome are making more advances than ever before. We will have more on the tragedy of the abortion of children with Down syndrome later in the broadcast. Spring means the return of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation's popular Town Hall Tour. The tour, which begins in late April, will circle the state with up-to-date pro-life news and information. This year's speakers will be Executive Director Michael Chicochopo and new Education Director Bonnie Finnerty. To find out more, please check out our Facebook page. Internet sensations and Fox News contributors Diamond and Silk will be the headliners for the Celebrate Life Banquet this fall. The banquet benefits the life-saving work of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation Education Fund. Diamond and Silk are expected to give a powerful witness to the harm inflicted by the black genocide caused by abortion. To find out more, please visit our website at www.paprolife.org. And now to our guest. Michael O'Dowd is a leading pro-life campaigner in Ireland. He is the proud father of a son with Down syndrome, and he has used his platform to campaign for the rights of people with disabilities all along life's continuum. Welcome to Lifelines Radio, Michael.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Michael, how did you become involved in the pro-life movement in Ireland?
Well, my involvement with the pro-life movement in Ireland really began with the birth of my son, Connor, 24 years ago. Mm. So, like any parent, I went and investigated what I would consider the reasons were. And during my research, I found that in the UK, in France, right across Europe, there are less kids being born with Down syndrome. So initially I thought I had found something new, that there are some environmental reasons for this happening. But then, to my shock and horror, I found that the reason more kids were born in Ireland than any other country were because abortion was available for children with Down syndrome in those other countries. Mm-hmm. So from that moment on, I became firmly pro-life.
And I think that some of us thought that abortion would never happen in Ireland. You know, from our standpoint over here in the United States, we thought that Ireland was an abortion-free country. There was never any worry about abortion. But then something changed. What changed?
Well, we had a very divisive referendum in our country last year. And frankly, the message, the pro-life message, failed to get out for a number of reasons, not least the fact that the press had become very liberal and didn't carry our side of the argument at all. So it was very disappointing, the result, where abortion is now available in our country, and in fact it's become quite liberal. But you know, we need to fight on from this point onwards, and our view now is that we need to roll back some of the liberal laws that have been brought in. And I think, having got over the shock of being defeated, we're now ready for the fight and we're up for it.
Well, that's very encouraging. Now, to what extent is Down syndrome an issue in the whole right to life debate in Ireland?
I think the whole right to life debate revolves around the disabilities is really important and Down syndrome is important. But there are other issues there as well. For instance, the freedom of conscience clause for medical professionals, that there is real problems with the new law that has been brought in, and then there are other issues in relation to the laws that are, for instance, the taxpayer now has to fund elective abortions, which those of us who are conscientiously opposed to abortion really are strongly opposed as well. So there are other issues, but Down syndrome is a big part, because Down syndrome can be identified at 10 weeks. We have abortion without any reason whatsoever up to 12 weeks in Ireland. So it will in time lead to the enabling of people with Down syndrome, unborn children, those that are most defenceless because they have a disability, being targeted by multinational companies. And that's a very dark industry, the whole prenatal testing industry, an industry without, in my opinion, any morality involved in it. So Down syndrome and indeed sex selection will be available. So people will know what sex their child is at 6 to 8 weeks, and they'll be able to abort them up to 12 weeks without any problems whatsoever. So there are huge issues there. The information, I suppose, is just beginning to feed through to the general population. So that's why education is so important. That's why I'm here talking to you and to other pro-life groups, finding out how you have shifted the middle ground and how you are making huge changes in people's attitudes, particularly among young people. So, you know, it's important that we learn, because it's an international fight. The fight for life, the right of life, is an international issue.
Definitely. Now, it's been said that people fear what they don't understand. Do you think that there's a lot of misunderstanding surrounding Down syndrome?
Specifically in relation to Down syndrome, there's a huge amount of misunderstanding. People always hear the worst possible outcomes that are available. But you know, if any expectant mother was told your son or daughter has a good chance of ending up in jail or being a drug addict, you know, if that's all they heard, you know, how many children would be born? But the reality of having a child with Down syndrome is totally different. They are a blessing to family, to communities, to the country. And we need to protect, cherish, encourage, challenge them as well. But they have a huge input to make into any society.
And I think that this is going to be a difficult question, but give me some sense what Connor has brought to your life since he was born.
Well, Connor has brought so much. That is a difficult question. Yes. Because every day is you know, he brings something new. He is within a family situation. He's got two sisters. He brings, if there's any disquiet or like any family, there'll be internal difficulties and rows. Connor will always be the peacemaker. Connor, he's a wizard at any electronic gadgetry. So if we need a TV fixed or we need a station tuned in or iPhone, you know, to know what the apps are, Connor is the go-to person. Mm-hmm. He's great at disarming people in any situation. He has been known to quell difficulties and fights in the school that he goes to. So like there's so much there, and each day he gives his love unconditionally, and it just is tragic to think that so many families, you know, will be without this blessing because of their lack of knowledge.
And now to our next guest. Deacon Tom Lang is with Real Alternatives, which administers the Commonwealth's Pregnancy and Parenting Support Services Program. Welcome, Deacon Tom.
Thank you, Maria. It's wonderful to be here.
Now, Deacon Tom, how did you come to become involved in Real Alternatives?
Well, I got to tell you, this was never on my radar. I was a partner in a Harrisburg law firm for about 18 years doing civil litigation work.
Okay.
I had a lot of contract experience through that job in drafting and contract analysis and litigation. And so when I saw an ad for a director of operations for this government-funded, government contracting position, it kind of caught my eye, but then I kind of put it to the side, didn't think much about it. Apparently at home I kept talking about it, and my wonderful wife finally said, well, why don't you look into it further then, if you keep talking about it? And so I did, and as they say, the rest is history then.
Oh my goodness, and how long have you been with Real Alternatives?
Since 2006.
Oh, so that long.
Yes, yes.
Oh my goodness.
It's been wonderful, and I wonder why I didn't start earlier now.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
Yes, it's a wonderful, blessed place to be.
What makes it such a wonderful experience?
The people.
Okay.
Absolutely the people. The people we work with. We have a small contingent of employees at our place there. There's 9 of us total. Only 4 of us are full-time, mm-hmm. so the rest are all part-time. But it's the counselors that we get to work with who are the wonderful people, the caring, compassionate people. And we see it how they just want to help these women like they're their own daughters.
Yes.
And so that's what makes it such a blessing. you know, when I was at the law firm, the big concern every day going home was, did I bill enough hours to hold up my end of the bargain with my partners? But that's all to the side now, and it's all about when I sleep at night, did we help a family that day? Did we help a woman who found herself in a unexpected pregnancy and didn't know where to go and what to do and had no one to help her? So it's such a blessing for me, too.
That's just so terrific.
Yes.
Now, what is the mission of Real Alternatives?
Well, fundamentally, the mission, of course, is to empower women to choose childbirth over abortion. But I got to tell you what attracted me mostly to the program, aside from that, obviously, was that the counselors are permitted to continue to work with the women for up to a year after the baby is born,
mm-hmm.
which is vitally important because these clients are normally very young women. They typically still need mothers themselves, but they're learning how to be a mother at the same time. And so they learn parenting skills, education, and other life skills that help them to become the mother that they know in their heart they really want to be.
So it's really a full-service stop.
It truly
when
is.
When they go to this program.
It truly is. They can be seen from the moment of conception until 12 months after. So it truly is a full-service program.
And that really shatters the myth that pro-lifers are only interested in the baby before the baby is born.
Exactly. That is what truly attracted me to this. It's all about the mother and the baby and the family. There are other family members who are positively affected by their mother becoming a better person and learning more skills and being a contributing member of society. And what always warms my heart is when I find out that one of our former clients is now going back to the site that she was served at, and she's volunteering her time because she now wants to help other women herself. So that just shows you what these wonderful counselors do for these women.
That's just amazing. Now, how has Real Alternatives expanded over the years?
So Real Alternatives has actually operated the program since 1996.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started in 2006, they had just heard from the state of Texas that they wanted our program in their state. And so a nonprofit organization was set up in the state of Texas. We trained all of their new employees on how to run our exact program in the state of Texas. And then we consulted with them for probably about 7 years after that. And then they were on their own, running a very successful program on their own in the state of Texas. In 2013 and 2014, we heard from the states of Michigan and Indiana that they also wanted our program. And so we actually operate those programs out of our offices here in Harrisburg and continue to do so today along with the Pennsylvania program. We also have assisted 12 other states
mm-hmm.
with starting their own programs
mm-hmm.
The way they want to do it. And we've educated six other states in addition to that on ways that they could start programs.
But it really all began here.
It sure
right?
did. We call this the laboratory in Pennsylvania. This is where it all started. This is where the ideas come from, but it started through the beloved Democratic Governor Robert Casey
mm-hmm.
Way back when in 95, actually, through the encouragement of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference, and many legislators who felt there was a need there for this program. You know, Governor Casey, in his wisdom, he looked and said, what do we do in Pennsylvania for the woman who wants to have her child? She doesn't want an abortion, but she just doesn't know what to do. She doesn't know where the community services are. She doesn't have any education or training on how to do this. What do we do for that person? So that's what this program does. They provide that support system for that person.
And that's really the safety net. I think that our opponents often talk about what's going to happen to women if abortion is made illegal. Well, this is part of the answer to that.
Exactly. You know, we always say it at Real Alternatives that once abortion is made illegal, we're still going to be needed
mm-hmm.
because we help the women in so many other ways. When I say we, I mean our counselors help the women in so many ways across the state to become wonderful parents, to become wonderful citizens, positively contributing to society. So it's a program that's still going to be needed.
And I think these pregnancy centers are really the light shining in the darkness. And it's a shame that we didn't have these pro-life pregnancy centers way back when, before Roe versus Wade.
Exactly.
I think that history might have been a lot different.
I agree with you, Maria. I agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, can you share with me a story about how Pennsylvania's parenting and pregnancy support program helped an individual?
Yeah, there are actually many of them. there are many client success stories, which is understandable because our counselors have helped over 300,000 women at over 1.5 million visits so far. Those numbers don't even count the babies and the families that have been positively affected, as I indicated earlier.
Right.
But one recent story does come to mind. It was a very young woman, which is, of course, our typical client. She became homeless because when she mentioned to her parents that she found out she was pregnant, they immediately kicked her out of their own home and told her that they were going to pay for an abortion so that this baby, quote, wouldn't ruin her life. This is how her own parents treated her. Her wonderful, quote, boyfriend, then, who was the father of the baby, offered that she could live with him. And so she took him up on that offer, moved in, but then shortly thereafter found out that he was engaged to another woman.
Oh, my goodness.
And if that living arrangement didn't work for her, she had to move out. And so, of course, she did and found herself homeless once again, ended up spending an entire weekend living out of her car, trying to make phone calls, finally got a number for one of our sites that had a maternity home, and she contacted them. And immediately she met with a counselor, and they hit it off right away, which is always the case when they see that here's a person in front of them that finally cares for them and finally is asking the question, what do you want to do?
Sure.
Instead of telling them what they think the woman has to do.
Yes.
And through the guidance and support of that wonderful counselor that she met, she started going for her prenatal care. She received homeless student services so that she could finish high school. She received pregnancy counseling and parenting support education from that counselor. Other community services and benefits were identified for her. And the wonderful news is that she then graduated from high school, started taking classes at her local community college, and continues in a registered nursing program. She gave birth to a healthy baby boy who she loves dearly. And even more wonderful, she reconciled with her parents. They love their grandson. She moved back in with them. They're all living together as a family again. And so, Marie, because of this program, because it exists and is allowed to exist and is funded, and because of these wonderful counselors, this woman is now a parent to her baby boy. He has a life, and she loves him dearly. Her parents have a grandson who they can't love any more than they do, and she is becoming a fully self-sufficient and positively contributing member of society because of this program.
That is just an amazing story. I mean, that would make a wonderful movie,
and
I think.
And it's one of a gazillion. but it's amazing. That's why I say I'm blessed to be part of it.
Oh, absolutely.
A small part of it, very
absolutely.
Small part.
Absolutely. And to think, what would her life have been like if she had gone ahead and had the abortion?
Exactly.
I mean, none of these other things would have happened.
Exactly. The regrets would have always remained for the rest of her entire life.
Yeah.
Always wondering what that child would have been. Who he or she would have been, you know, and no doubt her parents would have had regrets too,
right?
Forcing her into that that horrible decision.
Sure, and I think a lot of people, give up too soon, which these counselors do not do.
Yeah,
I think that if confronted with a situation where the parents were not interested in even housing their daughter, let alone the grandchild, you would have been scared away. But not this counselor.
Exactly. Exactly. Like I said, they treat these women like they are their own daughters, and they care for them, and they love them, and do whatever they can for them to help them be the mother that they, in their heart, really want to be. They don't want to have an abortion, but society and circumstances are pressuring them to do that.
And I think that this program kind of stands in the gap there, especially when the family is not that supportive, at least in the very beginning, that the program's counselors can come in and fulfill that role that needs to be filled on behalf of that woman and her unborn child.
Exactly, right. That's what these counselors do.
Now, what has made Pennsylvania's program a model for the rest of the nation? Why are so many other states duplicating the program?
Well, once they start looking into our program and seeing why it's successful, the first thing they see is the positive effect that it has on the citizens of Pennsylvania, in Indiana and Michigan and Texas now. And so that's the very first thing they see, that this is a very positive program that they can provide also to their citizens. they see that Real Alternatives is an excellent steward of taxpayer dollars. We drive our accountants crazy by requiring everything down to the penny to be worked out. We provide the states with quarterly reports, final reports. We are also audited every year by an outside auditing firm. Those reports are provided to the states also. They truly see that we are on the human services side of this issue, that we are here to really help women. That's our goal. That's what we want to do every single day. These women, as I said, they don't want to have an abortion. They just don't know where to go. As you said, they don't have the support system at home. They've been rejected by their parents, as in the story I gave you, and their friends also. They don't have this special aunt or friend who they can rely on. And so these counselors become that support system for them. And they hate when I call them this, but they are the true heroes of this program.
And this is an award-winning program.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's been recognized by the Central Pennsylvania Business Journal for the modern business practices that we use, the technology that we use. For example, the 1-888 Life Aid telephone number that any woman can call. The calls come to our offices in Harrisburg. We can then plug her zip code into our system, find out what sites we have that are closest to her, put her on hold and patch her right into a counselor right at that very moment. And that relationship begins right away, and we get off the phone, and she's receiving the services almost instantly.
And I think it's important for us to repeat that number. It's 1-888-LIFE-AID. That's 1-888-LIFE-AID.
Correct.
And that's a number that people can access throughout the state
exactly.
And be put in touch with a pregnancy center that is within, what, 45 minutes of their
approximately
house?
45 minutes of each right. of each person in Pennsylvania.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, we've definitely served clients from all the counties in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
We're always looking to expand any way we can. If there are areas that are underserved or unserved, we'd love to have service providers in those areas or our current service providers opening new sites in those areas so that we can provide more services to more women.
That's tremendous. Now, what are some of the goals of the program at this point?
Okay. So, as you know, Maria, abortions have declined quite steadily since Governor Casey started this program way back when, almost a quarter century ago now. But as you also know, 30,000 plus abortions a year in our state alone are way too many. One's way too many. But many women are still forced by circumstances to end the life of that tiny human being that's developing inside of her. They have no one to walk that journey with her. They're still very young. They still need that support that was envisioned by Governor Casey when he started this program with the encouragement of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. And so our goal, as I said, is to expand the services as best we can to reach more of those women through additional sites, additional counselors. It's very important that we're able to advertise broadly and regularly so that that name, Real Alternatives, comes to mind right away when anybody encounters a woman who could benefit from these state-funded services.
And I think you really live up to your name, too.
Exactly.
I think some people are skeptical that there are real alternatives to abortion, but they do exist.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Now, have you ever met someone whose life was actually saved as a result of the program?
It's actually kind of funny you ask that question because this happened just last week.
Oh, my gosh.
Just last week.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a chef we know at a local restaurant. Uh-huh. We've known him for a long time. And just finally, he asked what we do at our company. He sees us there all the time and asks what we do. And the program was explained to him and how we help families and women. And he got real quiet and then said, look over there. And he pointed to his 17-year-old son, who's also working at the restaurant, too.
Okay.
He said when my wife was pregnant with him, we needed a lot of help. And he's here because we were able to go to one of your service providers and receive that help. And so he couldn't be any more thankful by the program. So here's a guy that we've known for a long time.
Yes.
And just because he said, hey, what do you guys actually do, that we found out how our program helped him and his family personally.
What a humbling experience that
absolutely,
must have been.
Absolutely. It just warms the heart. It really warms the heart.
But we know there are so many others out there.
Yes.
Because you have served 300,000 women over the years.
Exactly.
So there are so many people that are here today because of the program. And I think would it be fair to say that our abortion rate would be much higher were it not for the program?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. That goes without saying. Another one is the little boy that we just talked about in the other story I told you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get kicked out of the house. You have no support. You have nowhere to go. You don't know about the services that are available. Circumstances pushes a lot of women into having an abortion that they do not want to have, but they feel that they have no other way out. That might be another life that wouldn't be here today.
Mm.
And what might he and this 17-year-old man be contributing to our society in the future?
Right.
So it's wonderful to think of that.
Now, how can people help support the program?
I'd first recommend they just go to our website, realalternatives.org. It's realalternatives with an S at the end, .org. Mm. There's many ways on there that we suggest ways that they can help the program. There's actually what I do want to encourage, though, there's a clip on there of a very brief video called Miracle of Life.
Mm.
It's beautiful music, so it's nice to listen to. But it also shows fetal development, true fetal development. And people need to know that that's there so that when they encounter someone who could benefit from understanding fetal development, they know where to send her to or him to. There's also a locator page where they could put in their zip code and find out which of our sites are closest to where they live in case they want to volunteer or in case they want to contribute to their local site to help with the efforts there. Of course, we have the normal donate here buttons on our website too. And that's to help cover the myriad of expenses that just are not funded through the state funding.
Thank you so much, Deacon Tom. You've been listening to Lifelines, the radio program of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.